Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, my brothers and my sisters. Welcome to another episode of the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also sitting here with me, another one of our gracious hosts, Sister Mary Ann Williams. Good evening, Mama. That's what we call her around the table. Mama, good evening to you.
Good evening, my precious son. And good evening and greetings to our PRF family. We want to thank you for joining with us this evening. We couldn't do this without you. So with that being said, I will turn it over to the Reverend Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap.
You put all my business out there in the streets, but that's okay. I'm proud for what God is doing. So listen, this is the PRF Table. This is the place where we are transforming the way that you talk about money. And PRF stands for Possessions, Resources, and Finances. Notice that the finance part is at the end because it's not about the finances, it's not about the possessions, but it's really about the resources. And so what we're talking about this month on this month's series, October 2017, is insurance or God's assurance. Now, Mama, you've been here, and some of you who are listening may have been with us all month as we've had a variety of special guests that have been with us. We were so blessed to have on the first Thursday, Sister or Evangelist Vera Moody from the Moody Insurance Group up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And then on yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, yesterday, Mama, we had Saeed Abdul Kabir, who was with us for a special edition of the PRF Table. And he was not able to be with us on tonight. So we made sure that we offered that opportunity for him to be with us, and I'm going to probably talk a little bit about what we talked about last night, but I'm going to encourage everybody to go back on our website, prfministry.org, prfministry.org, and go and listen to some of the previous shows that we've had, especially yesterday. But then on last week, Mama, I can't skip over Brother Nelson Baldwin out of Alpharetta, Georgia. Oh, my goodness, how we had to deal with the mind. And it was a different type of insurance conversation.
Yes.
It was a different type of insurance conversation. It was a different type of God's assurance type of conversation because we focused on the mind and a little bit about how the mind works, and God was all in, up, and through our dialogue on last Thursday. And so tonight, we are winding this monthly series down. We have one more special guest. We may have two, but we have one more special guest on next week, October the 26th. At 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have the wonderful Zanetta Shepherd, who will be with us, and that's all I'm going to say. She's out of Columbus, Georgia. She's been on the show before, and I like to make sure that I'm being led by God, or all of us are being led by God, Mama, to get the right guest on the right shows at the right time. There's something about not being positioned in the right place at the right time, because you can miss it. So tonight, if you're listening right now, you're definitely in the right place at the right time for the right dialogue. And so we're going to be talking not from a theme, but if you've been following us on Facebook, PRF Institute is how you can find us on Facebook. But if you've been following us on Facebook, or you've been seeing the flyers for the shows on our website, you've noticed that we've had the guest and a picture of them and where they're from, or just, you know, their name and where they're from and when they're going to be on the show. But if you go back to the first flyer we put out, said insurance or God's assurance.
Yes.
And then it had something else that I don't think people picked up on, because we've had all these great guests. Well, see, I had to break it up a little bit before we come into the last and final show.
Yes.
Here's where we're at tonight, Mama.
Okay.
Stop expecting God to cover you when you are given the tools he's provided.
Wow.
Stop expecting God to cover you when you are given the tools he's provided. And that's where we're at, because, see, we've been talking about this for a long period of time. And at some point, something has to give. Now, you don't have to give, but something is going to have to give. Something is going to give, like the breath in all of our bodies. Something has to give, like Jesus has to return, because that's what we believe and that's what the word says. So the sky cracks open, you hear that loud, Anthony, y'all know how I do. But at that point, at that moment, and I say this with all seriousness because it is serious.
Yes.
There is not going to be any time to get your affairs in order. One of the things that I recall is talking a couple of months ago about prepare for prosperity or poverty. And one of the things that we discussed, Mama, and we discussed the passage of scripture when Jesus talked about the 10 virgins.
Oh, yes.
How five of them, all of them had oil, but five of them had more than enough. And five of them just had the bare minimum.
Yes.
But they had the bare minimum because they weren't foreseeing that they needed more than what they had. And so it's amazing to me that, and I'm not going to beat anybody up tonight. We want everybody to be a part of this tonight. We want people to join into the conversation. If you're listening online, we encourage you to join in to the conversation. Let us hear your voice, because we're not the only voices that God has given on this area, this subject. You can dial 347-215-7934. Press 1 on your phone if you're calling in but listening by phone. We'll see you light up on the switchboard, and we will bring you into this conversation, man. And we will just pull out a chair for you. Then we'll push it back in and let you just go ahead and sit down and join into this conversation at the PRF table. Saeed, last night, Mama.
Yes.
He got me to thinking, you know how Saeed is. I'm so proud of Saeed, Brother Saeed, because he's now officially opened up his doors for the Saeed, for the Abdul Kabir Insurance Agency.
Okay.
Under Farmers. It's just amazing. What has happened over the last 2 years in his life, and to see him at this point doing what he's doing. And you know, you have to think about this. Let's think about this for a moment. You have people that sell insurance.
Yes.
You want to believe that the person who sells insurance has insurance.
Yes.
you just want to believe that. Like, you want to believe that the pastor is saved, right? You just want to believe that.
Yes.
But here's what. But let me draw a parallel for you. You don't know neither one of them to be true.
That's true.
A pastor can stand in the pulpit, a reverend, a minister, a clergy, we can stand in the pulpit and say that we're saved all day long. But unless you heard it, you don't know. Unless you've heard them say it and believe it, you still don't know. We just assume because Dunlap or whoever is in the pulpit that they're saved.
Yeah.
We just assume that if I'm visiting somebody else's church or ministry, that whoever that person is that is in leadership is not going to have somebody unsaved preaching the word of God or preaching to a group of people whom God has called that other person to lead or who they've decided to lead.
Right.
And so it's the same way with insurance. Those who are in that insurance space, the insurance industry, those professionals, you want to believe that those individuals actually have insurance themselves, but you still don't know.
Right.
You don't know because I don't know any person who's come to our house. I don't know any person who I've met in the street who is in this space that's actually showed me their insurance policy.
Right.
Okay. So we don't
Yes.
know, but we trust and believe that whoever is presenting this before us actually has it together.
Yes.
Now, now you think about the insurance agent, right? If
Yes.
that person, he or she, has insurance, you have to think about it like this. They're covered. And what they're doing is so that you can get covered. They're doing it so that you can get covered. Now, everybody who knows me knows that I'm not an insurance salesman. That's not what God has called me to do. I'm not going to do it. But they're doing it for you. And so I want to still keep going on with this theme tonight, because it's straight no chaser before we bring the lovely Zanetta Shepherd to be with us next week. And it may be a sweeter conversation, but I ain't got next week. I got tonight. Praise God for that.
I know when you when I called you up and when I called you to let you know that my girlfriend, which we've been friends for, I'd say over 20 years, that she's had a stroke.
Easy.
Mm-hmm. And she couldn't speak. Her blood pressure, they couldn't regulate it. They couldn't regulate her sugar, her vital signs. And the first thing you asked me was, did she have her affairs in order?
That's right, right? It's you know why I asked that? Because my affairs is in order. And I desire in my heart, which is why God has us dealing with what we're dealing with, that everybody else is covered. So this theme of stop expecting God to cover you when you're given the tools he's provided. Oh, yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there tonight. Don't worry. But you got to understand, y'all. I really want people to understand that there's a reason why there's people out there that has the ability to help you get covered. And you know what's a beautiful thing about this whole thing with insurance and financial services? It's not a monopoly where only one person has all the insurance.
Yes. That's good.
See, if you go back to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 18 particularly, right? It's not like a Moses situation in Exodus 18. Where Moses was the only one that people could come to get what God had for them.
Yes.
To settle disputes, to give advice, to give counsel. It was only one person that they could go to during that time in Exodus 18. That was Moses. He was the one. But thanks be to God that we don't have to have a Moses, Mr. Moses Insurance.
Yes.
Thank God that there's more than one person. And so when I say to everybody, stop expecting God to cover you when you're given the tools he's provided. What are the tools that he's provided? Oh, man, y'all ain't ready for this one tonight.
Okay.
First tool, one of the first tools is he's given insurance personnel, insurance agents, insurance companies, whatever way you want to put it into a box. That's what he's given to us. Because the truth of the matter is, God has allowed this to be an industry in our society. I don't know what they do over in Korea. I don't know what they do over in Iraq. I don't know what they do over in South America. But I know in these United States of America,
yes,
is insurance.
Yes.
When I say to everybody, mama, stop expecting God to cover you, I know I'm challenging your thought process, because some of you may be thinking, hold on, you saying don't expect God to cover me? Why would God not cover me? Well, here's the deal. It's not a matter of God not covering you. It's about what your expectations are for God to cover you. See, it's just like today. It was raining.
Yes.
I was talking to Brother Mark at the time when it was raining, and I had to handle something because I was uncovered at the time when the rain started coming.
Yes.
So, matter of fact, let me just be a little more transparent. So I'm riding in in the convertible Mustang, and I'm enjoying the weather, and I got the top down, and it's not real sunny outside, so my head is not burning up, getting sunburn on my bald head. But then the rain starts to come, and so I had to pull over, because I said, you know what, let me pull over, listen, I had to pull over, because I said, you know what, I'm looking at the clouds in the sky, and I can see the direction that I'm driving on the highway. It's not like the clouds were behind me. The clouds were in front of me. And because the clouds were in front of me, that gave me an indication that either one or two things are going to happen. Either it's not going to rain or it is going to rain. So I had to make a conscious decision after I pressed the envelope a little bit and said, you know what, I think I can make it to my destination because I've been riding under this cloud for a little while now. And so then it started raining a little bit. And see, God brought back to my remembrance earlier today, it was pouring down raining. So I thought about, Mama, if it poured down raining on me now like it was earlier, but see, earlier I had the top up when it started to rain. So I had to think about now that I'm feeling a little drip, drip, drip. I got to put the windshield wipers on. It's not bad. It feels good. So I had to pull over, and I had to put the top back up.
Yes.
Now, guess what it allowed me to do by putting the top back up? It allowed me to keep on going. It protected the inside of the car. Because if the sky, like you know how you say the bottom fell out? If the bottom would have fell out, if it started raining, quote-unquote, cats and dogs, then my clothing, the controls inside of the car, my paperwork, all of that would have just got rained on. And the reality is God gave me the tools to stay dry. It was up to me to say if I was going to pull over and put the, cause see, you can't do it while you're riding. I learned that. You can't do it. I tried it. I said, well, if it get bad, I'll just press the button and it just, you know, just mm-mm. That thing did not move. I said, oh, let me go ahead and pull my tail over. And that means I had to stop. And I'm encouraging everybody to listen to what I just said. God has provided me with this vehicle to be able to have this vehicle for what I'm doing. He provided me a nice vehicle. But yet, if I chose not to pull over to the side of the road and the bottom would have fell out, the cats and dogs would have been raining. If that would have happened, it would have been nobody's fault but mine.
Yes, a very good example.
So here goes back to this theme for tonight. Stop expecting God to cover you when you're given the tools He's provided. So should I have we're gonna ask a question. Should I have expected God to just hold up the reins for Dunlap? Because I don't want to pull over to put the top up. Would it have made even sense for me to say, Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you hold the rain till I get to my destination? Because I'm enjoying what's going on. I'm enjoying the wind in my beard. I can't say in my hair, it's in my beard. I'm enjoying the wind in my beard right now. And I want to continue to enjoy that. See, this is the same way people are acting right now when it comes to insurance. They're expecting that God is going to just take care of everything. And I'm telling you right now, stop expecting God to cover you when you're given the tools that He's provided. Okay,
Amen.
So go ahead, Mama. Go ahead. I need
no,
a break anyway.
No, I was just going to add to what you were saying is that, you know, we're in a physical realm. God gave us a mind. He gave us the power of choice, and He gives us common sense. So He does expect for us to use which are tools that we can use in this physical realm. When the unknown happens and you see the signs of the unknown.
That's good. That's good. You know, so let's continue on with what you just said. You talked about seeing the signs. Did I not see them dark clouds rising? You know that song, Dark Cloud Rising, Let's Go Home? Did I not see that dark cloud?
Yes.
So I asked the question to all of you who are listening, and a question that you can ask others, do you not see all the Facebook postings that have GoFundMe accounts posted to them? Do you not see all the killing? Do you not see all the death that is going on all around us? Do you continue to see that folks just don't have their affairs in order? But is it you who do not have your affairs in order?
Right.
That's big for me right now. Is it you? Because I've said it before and I'll say it again. My family gonna be good when I'm gone. Because we're covered. I would prefer nobody gets our insurance money. Mama, listen, this is my desire. My heart's desire is that none of y'all out there that's connected to me, no organization that's connected to me, no family member, gets a dime. Because I'd rather Jesus come back first.
Yes.
So nobody have to deal with that.
Yes.
However, should Jesus decide not to come back, or God decide not to send Jesus back, before my time comes up, I know my family's covered.
Yes.
And so I'm going to press the envelope a little bit more. We're not going to be here all night tonight. I said, stop expecting God to cover you when you're given the tools that he's provided. How about stop expecting God to cover you. How about we also say, don't expect God to take care of your family and cover your family when you refuse to use the tools that he's provided. Don't expect it. What do I mean? Expect it. Just be honest with your family members right now. Those of you who are not covered and don't feel that you haven't, like one pastor told me, I don't feel they need that right now. Okay. I guarantee if God called five members home out of that church, I guarantee you that pastor don't have, let alone eight times five, $8,000, like average, you know, for insurance, funeral.
Yes.
I guarantee you that pastor don't have 8,000 times five, but I'm also guaranteeing she ain't got 8,000 times one to help one family, but don't need it right now. So here's what you can do. If this is you and this is just your, because see, it's your choice, just like everything else that we have going on in life. And if you are listening or you know individuals who choose not to make sure that they are covered, then just be honest with your family and say, listen, if I die tonight, this is what I hope y'all talking about on Thanksgiving. I'm telling you, this is what I hope somebody talks about and get this conversation. Like when my aunt passed away a couple of months ago, we had the conversation about where's all the brother, all the cousins. Let's write down all of our family members so we can put together a tree for the next generation, because we don't have but one more aunt that's left on my father's line. So we talking about cousins that. Okay, I know about this cousin. This person know about that cousin. Well, who's this son? No, what's this son? What's Keith? We got to put that down. So this is what I hope y'all talking about during Thanksgiving. I hope y'all talking about who's covered and who's not covered. And I say this, and not to be, I say it as I'm saying it. If you don't get covered, be honest with your family member and say, look, I don't have no insurance. I don't have any insurance. And I don't have $8,000 or $10,000 in the bank. So I just want to let you know that y'all on your own. Just be honest with folk.
Yes.
just be honest with y'all on y'all own. And so, because see, if somebody in my family said that to me, I'm start thinking, hold on, what you mean I'm on my own? Joker, you think I'm going to have to take care of that? So we're going to have this fight right now. We're going to have this fight right now. We're going to have this conversation right now. Because, no, you're not going to skate out on me and leave me holding the bag. So that means you're going to have to get into some different conversations when you don't have yourself covered. Stop expecting God to cover you when you are given the tools that he's provided. What's another one of the tools, Mama? I mean, listen, I don't have a list. I just got what I got. Another one of the tools
is
the Word of God.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just dealing with insurance, not dealing with the other parts of the state, but just dealing with insurance.
Okay.
We got the Word of God. What's one of the tools that he has provided? His Word. There are many examples in the Bible that lets us know that God desires for us to be prepared. Many. Does God have to say in his Bible, does God have to say through the written word that we use and call the Bible, you need to be covered with life insurance, according to the book of insurance, chapter 1, verse 6. No, we don't have to have nothing like that. But when I read some other scriptures, like Proverbs chapter 6, when wisdom, which God is wisdom, wisdom says, through wisdom literature, go to the ant. Think about the ant. You sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. I said this when I was speaking last week. I don't know what a sluggard is, but it don't sound good. Call somebody a sluggard. That don't even sound right. You might as well cuss me. Yeah, it's lazy person, right? You lazy bone. Consider her ways and be wise. So consider what the ant does and be wise. Not think about being wise. Not procrastinate about being wise. Be wise. You know what that word be means? It's an active state of being. It's not something that you've done. It's something that you're doing. Proverbs 6 talks about the ant doesn't have anybody over them. The ant knows what to do. Now you think about this. The ant gathers food in the summer, right?
Yes.
It stores it up for the harvest, stores it up for the winter. Hold on now. Now we creating cars as human beings. We've collectively come together to put people on the moon and other places, outer space. We've come together to build buildings. We've come together to do rallies and protests. We've come together to do all these great things as human beings. In this world that we live, build airplanes, stealth bombers, nuclear bombs. But yet, we hear this scripture about the ant doing something so simple to preserve life and leave legacy. Gathering right now and storing up for when it's needed.
Yes.
Listen, it is not the most complicated thing. And it's not that everybody who doesn't have insurance, right? Only 43% of the people. And let me go on record and correct. You know, sometimes I get excited about things, and I may misspeak on occasion. So I've been saying. I know I've heard it playing back, you know, previous shows that it's 57% of the people in the country have insurance, and I've had the numbers inverted. I knew it, but I was just saying the wrong thing. Only 43% have. So I had given a whole bunch of y'all to put y'all in the 14%. But no, it's not 57, it's only 43. The 57 is the 1% is the number of those who do not have coverage. So you go back to Proverbs, right?
Yes.
And the writer asks this question. How long will you sleep?
Yes.
How long will you sleep? When are you going to rise from being asleep? I love how it says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So you can sit back if you choose to and stay asleep on what we're talking about here at the PRF table or at a legacy conference or in a PRF institute. You can be asleep. But the word is clear. So shall your poverty come. Not my poverty. Please catch it. So shall your poverty come. And it says, come on you like a prowler. And your need like an armed bandit. So what does that say to me? You can sit back acting like these things are not important. You can act like these things are not going to affect your household. But the word is clear to me, Mama. So shall your poverty. Now, here's what you got to understand. When we start talking about your poverty, here's what you got to understand about poverty. Poverty don't go away because you die.
True.
Think about this. If Dunlap has no insurance and Dunlap is making $8 an hour and Dunlap has bad credit and Dunlap can't do the things that he would like to do or she would like to do, and then Dunlap dies, what he or she is leaving behind is a mess. The poverty that I ain't gonna, let me take my name out of it. The poverty that this individual, pull my name out of this thing. Sure is one out there, but I'm pulling my name out of there. I don't want God to get misunderstood what I'm talking about. We blessed. So all those things, it gets transferred. It gets transferred to the rest of the family. And I can tell you without any question that is not what God desires for our poverty-stricken state to just beat people down, household after household after household after generation after generation after generation. There has to be a waking up. There has to be a waking up. Stop expecting God to cover you when you're given the tools he's provided. Now, let me take that statement, stop expecting God to cover you.
Yes.
See, if I don't do something as the head of the house, then my household expects God to give them that assurance and cover them. But see, you got to understand that there's plenty of biblical narratives that should help everybody understand, even though insurance is not mentioned in the Bible and in this context. But you better understand that there are some things that if the head of the household doesn't take care of, it's going to affect the rest of the household.
Yes.
And so there should never be an instance where when the head of the household gets called home, that the rest of the family got to be out here begging and struggling. There's a scripture that says, I've never seen
the righteous forsaken.
Mm-hmm. Or see begging for bread.
Yes.
Well, guess what? I know what that scripture say, but evidently what I'm seeing is telling me a whole different story. Because there's a lot of people begging for bread.
Yes.
And a lot of it comes from folks not having their affairs in order who has a duty and a responsibility to their family to make sure that we are covered. Stop expecting God to cover you when you're given the tools he's provided. So you got to think that a lot of people just, they're calling on God. They're calling on God because, you know, title of the book, Don't Leave Me Like This, because somebody left them like that.
Yes.
God don't have a problem with any of us because he's created all of us. Regardless of your religion, what your gender is, affiliate, whatever. He's created every last one of us. So God does not have a problem with you asking or calling his name. But you can call till the cows come home on some stuff. And God's like, you know what? I heard you. Lord, rescue me. We need some money to pay these bills. God heard you. Then the question becomes, can you even imagine why God may not be responding as you call? He heard you. But why is he not responding?
Well,
why are so many of y'all listening or that are listening still in that same place of poverty? Granddad ain't had no insurance. Dad ain't had no insurance. Now you ain't got no insurance. What do you think gonna happen when you become the granddaddy and you become the pappy? This whole cycle of poverty. It's a cycle, mama.
Yes.
It is in effect because so many people have failed and continue to fail and will die having been a failure, not having their affairs in order. Go ahead, mama. Go ahead. I know you.
No, I was just thinking about what I had someone to tell me of why they don't, you know, they don't think it's important to attend church. They believe that they should. But, however, they were saying that, well, you know, they really couldn't find a church, et cetera, et cetera. And they said, and my mama told me that, you know, you don't have to because you can just stay right here, you know, stay in your home, you know, and you know, have church. Like, you know, I'm just saying, because that was years and years ago. But I'm just bringing it up to today, like you can get on the internet and you can listen to different, you know, Christian shows, you know, and she's the person that is really, really hangs on to that, you know. And like you were saying, it's a cycle because their children going to believe the same thing too.
Right.
And their children going to believe if it doesn't be broken.
Well, is there any tools that you can think of, mama, or a tool of tools? Is there something? Listen, stop expecting God to cover you when you're given the tools that he's provided. Well, is there another tool with this whole theme of insurance or God's assurance that you can think of?
Well, to me, I would think you first have to get the knowledge to understand that how important insurance is. And the knowledge, I mean, can come across, but because it's, you know, it's never been talked about in your family at all, and I don't really know, and so I just believe people just don't think about it because it was never talked about much in my family. But I was thinking on this issue, and I was thinking about my great-great aunts, you know. My aunt Eva had insurance. And Gertrude had insurance. Aunt Nalani had insurance. Dowager had insurance. You know, it was, and they paid their insurance. So that was even a sign, but it was never talked about. I just know the insurance man came, you know.
Right. And what was happening was nonverbal communication.
Yeah.
It was nonverbal, right? Because you knew the insurance man was coming, but you didn't know anything about that. And so you grew up in a time where there was just some stuff you just didn't ask. You know, some stuff was grown folk business, right? You know what I'm saying? Who that man coming to the door, you know, especially if you got a mom and dad in the house. You know, mama, who that man coming to the door? You know, some funny stuff may have been going on, but you know, you take it as insurance man, but it wasn't insurance man, right? So nonverbal communication was happening at that time. There was just not some, I would venture to say that the environment and the culture and plenty of cultures were not as such where people, young people, children would be questioning their parents about who that was, because see, you didn't sit in the living room when company came over. You took your butt to the back. I think I did. That's why I stayed in my room a lot, you know? So, that's just the way it was. So now what we know is we have to be the ones to have the conversation and share that information. So what I took from what you just said was the same thing that Saeed said, one of the things that he said. Because I asked, what are some things we can work on collectively? And the number one thing he said was financial literacy. This is a part of financial literacy. This is part of financial literacy. And I said something at the end of the show. He said, you know, he was talking, he was giving, I won't say an example, but he was speaking about how he was talking about his customer base. And he was talking about how and he has different cultures and ethnic beliefs that as clients and people that he deals with. But he was talking about how the black clientele that would come to him, right?
Yes.
And he said he asked everybody the same question. What made you come in today? That something like that.
Yes.
And he asked the same thing of the white clientele. And so he was saying, if I'm not mistaken, that the white clientele, some of his white clientele, when he asked that question, has given more of a response, more of this response over the black clientele. The response that they gave was, my daddy told me to come see you. My grandfather told me to come see you. Listen to what he said now.
Yes.
Men in authority.
Yes.
Was looking at the next generations, because for some it was the grandfather and for some it was the father. So if it was the grandfather, children's children leaving an inheritance.
Yes.
That leaving inheritance piece was not just about leaving money, but it was also teaching the life lessons that they can apply and teach to their children's children. So that they're leaving a long-standing legacy behind. So then he said what he was hearing from some of his black clientele was, well, I heard my white friends talking about this. Interesting.
Not the leader.
That they heard some of their white friends talking about this.
Okay.
And so they came to see, okay, what can I do? And we were talking yesterday about, you know, we have to have a different strategy. I was talking about how Black Friday, right? The system of capitalism in this country, consumerism, right? How that system of is already in place to get your money and my money come Black Friday is already in place. Nobody's starting to manufacture stuff on November 15th. No, Jack, they done already got stuff put in the warehouse. They done already hit China up so they can make all that stuff, and it's sitting up in the warehouse, and some of it's on boats right now coming to the U.S. so they can be ready for Black Friday. But I said, here's the thing. What they've done over the years, they've changed their strategy, Mama.
Okay.
The strategy is not so much that everybody's going to stand outside, especially in the cold, at 2 o'clock in the morning, waiting until 6 o'clock in the morning for the stores to open up. You know what they started doing?
No.
They started their sales online. So now there's a large online presence. Y'all heard me talk about it last year and the year before last and the year before that and the year before that.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay.
So they've changed up their strategy because everybody's not coming out to stand out. You know I ain't going out there. Please. What?
No, I'm not either.
Ain't nowhere in the world. But I may go online. if it's something I want to look at, right? So now what they've done is they've not only captured those individuals who in my mind, crazy enough to be standing out there in some parts of the country, you know. Trust me, Philly, you're going to be out there in November, 3 or 4 hours in the cold. Man, see, that's a whole nother story. But Chicago, Connecticut, Boston, oh, my goodness, they've got to be crazy to me. But so those folks going to do that, then they're going to get the other folks that's going to do online. So now they're bidding and having these competitions online, these different consumers, right? Oh, and Amazon has taken a hold to that. And so now that takes me to where I'm about done. Since we know what the problem is, a lot of people have not received what we've been talking about in respect to insurance or God's assurance. Will you or will you not? Don't leave me like this. A lot of folks in a lot of different cultures and communities have not received this from their parents.
Right.
So how long do we have to continue to have the same conversation about what has not happened? See, the world has done so much of a better job at taking the principles of God. See, they've taken Romans 12, 1 and 2. And they've used that to their advantage. They said, hold on, we're not going to be conformed. Now, I don't know what world it is, but we're not going to be conformed to the foolishness of the world. The foolishness of the world is continue doing the same thing. So even the world is saying we're not going to be like the world. And they said, no, we're going to do something different to get y'all money. We got to do something different. So that means, we don't have to have so much of a conversation anymore. We don't even have to have this conversation about what has not been done at all ever again on the PRF table. Ever again. About why. Because we've talked about it till we're blue in the face or pink or red. And we know that doesn't change anything. So now what we have to do, and I'm putting it out there, what we have to do as a ministry, as a nonprofit organization, we have to be the ones that changes the face of the game. If we're not going to be the ones to change the face of the game, then we'll be sitting here talking about the same thing 5 years from now as another generation start getting messed up and dying off like crazy and not having their affairs in order and not putting stuff aside for their children or their children's children. Forget it. We're done. We need to stop expecting God to cover us when we're not going to use the tools that he's provided. Let's just stop it. Let's just pack up shop and just sit there and ride away if we're not going to change our strategy. If we're not going to seek God, who do we need to deal with to change the landscape of this conversation, to change the manner in which the dialogue occurs? Who are we going to deal with? We have to be proactive in what we're doing. And so here's what I said to Saeed. I said, listen, I'm about to say something, but I'm being real facetious when I say this, so just know this up front. I said, so if the black young men that are coming to see you are coming to see you because of their white friends, hearing their white friends talking about this, then maybe we need to be focusing on white people. If y'all are black people going to listen to them, maybe that's where we need to put our attention. maybe I need to go to the private white schools and start helping the private white school kids. So, you know, when they go around their black friends and they start talking about these things, and then maybe that's how Saeed gets more customers, more clients. Because somehow this peer-to-peer thing just don't seem to be working.
Well, you know, when you're in sales, you know, sales is something I don't really like to sell. But when I was selling, they picked their territories, and if this one didn't work, you kept on going. And you know, that's what Jesus said. You know, you give them the word. You know, I'm just paraphrasing it. And if they don't receive it, you know, kick the dust off your feet and keep moving. But at least you plant the seed. At least you're planting the seeds.
we
know.
think we
I know
plant
it's a
seeds.
slow
Maybe, maybe.
harvest, but
Could, hey, the scripture also says that talks about the scripture. Scripture also talks about throwing seeds on stony ground. So
stony ground.
Some folks
True.
Think some folk think that they planting seeds. No, all you think you're doing is dropping them, and birds picking them up
yeah.
and just running away with them.
That's true.
So we got it. So yeah. But you know, I'm putting a little humor into it. You know, that's not going to
yeah.
be our strategy. But I'm going to tell you this. If God say do it like that, I'm going to do it like that.
Yeah.
Because the reality is there's been too much going on. Too
and
many
then
folks.
And then if you look at it from another point of view, you know, we're just about people. We just want everybody. So that means the ones that don't, you know, because I'm sure that there is a people out there, you know, that in the that are white that really have not heard either. You know, so because we, you know, we're about everybody. We want everybody, you know, to have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Just something
because
to think about.
Because it's kingdom. Yeah, I mean.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, we know what we're doing here at PRF. This is about kingdom. This is not about church. This is about the kingdom of God. This is about the kingdom of God on earth. We know that. We know
yes,
that. We
okay.
know it. We know it.
Yes.
But we have to do something. There has to be something different. So I'm gonna tell you that's some of where my head is right now is revising some things to start dealing with some individuals that are going to listen. You know, myself and Pastor Mark, you know, we have the pleasure of going to minister to a group of men every other week. And we're dealing with real deal subjects, real deal instruction, the word from a really practical and spiritual perspective. And we know it's affecting their lives in a positive way. And God gets all the glory.
Yes.
Now you think about that. You think about that. Why can't that same thing be done with what we're talking about?
That's true.
See, if I'm saying that right, am I trying to sound country? If ne'er another pastor does not mention anything ever to his or her quote unquote congregation about making sure that you're covered. You know what? That blood's on their hands.
Yes.
Especially when you know. Here's going to be the test.
Right.
Here's what I want everybody to do. I want everybody listening right now. And this is not a disrespectful thing, so, you know, some of my pastor friends may think so because they don't want to be exposed or don't want to by questioning them. Shame on you. But here's what I want every listener to do, whether you're in the church or not in the church. It don't matter. Every pastor you meet between now and Thanksgiving, I want you to ask them, do they have life insurance? I want you to ask the question, Pastor, do you have life insurance? And then the next question I want you to ask them is, Pastor, do you know how many members in your church have life insurance? And then after that, I just want you to give them prfministry.org and tell them, you know, you may want to contact Dr. Dunlap or Pastor Mark or anybody on the team. Because the truth of the matter is, what good does it, how does it look when I, as a leader, have insurance, but I don't care enough about the people that I'm serving with or the ones I say God sent to me if they have insurance
mm-hmm.
and they're not covered? Now, here's the deal. You don't, as a leader, you don't have to ever worry about any of the people on your team or in the ministry that you're leading or in position over having life insurance, as long as you got the cash to help that family if they don't have it. See, I'm not talking about helping them to sign a promissory note for $1,500 or $8,500. I'm not talking about that. That's not helping. That's folk getting further and further in debt. But ask the pastor. See, somebody has to speak and get to the heart of the pastors. I can't reach them all. And enough of them running away from me already. I ain't going to keep running behind them. That ain't my task. So you can do like the Samaritan. You can go on, I mean, you know, the story of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, you can go on the other side of the road. So you don't have to have a conversation. You can do that. Eventually we'll meet up somewhere, and I ask a question. But I think those are even those what I put out there to ask your pastor, those couple of questions, the two questions before you give my contact information, it's so relevant. You know how relevant it is? It's just as relevant as asking your pastor, "Pastor, are you saved?" Now watch this. If you go to your pastor and you say, "Pastor, are you saved?" They're going to quickly give you that answer. But it lets me know that there is some conflict, which is why conflict transformation is a platform which we come from. You're going to probably get an instance of conflict that's going to rise up. You say, "Pastor, I got a question. Pastor Marianne, I got a question for you. Are you saved?"
Yeah.
"Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Brother Dunlap. I'm saved. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Of course I am. Yeah, I was saved back in 1955. I remember when that man came to my house, and he asked me, was I saved? And I put that down on my knees, and I gave the Lord my life. Been the best move I ever made in my life." "Okay, thanks. Pastor Mary, I'm glad you gave me that answer. I'm glad you told me that. I got another question. One more question. I'm out to here. You got life insurance?" "What kind of question is that, brother? What do you mean?" "Oh, my
That's
goodness,
personal.
What?" "It's personal.
Personal."
"But your salvation ain't personal? What?" Let's be honest. So another one of the tools that you have is conversation. Mm-hmm. That's another one of our tools. Mm-hmm. Stop expecting God to cover you if you won't even have the conversation that's going to help you to get covered or help somebody else to get covered. Don't feel bad when people around you pass away and you know they don't have their affairs in order and you had an opportunity to help them. Don't be fat. Don't talk about them with their GoFundMe account. Don't say, you know what, they should. Don't even say nothing. May your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth so you can't say nothing. I'm so serious about it. Because we have to have these conversations. And the reality is, it's almost like a Noah situation. You know what? If the 20 or 30 of us that's connected to us on a regular basis with PRF, if we're having a conversation, we're making sure that everybody's covered and we're dealing with this, no problem. Because the truth of the matter is, everybody didn't get on the boat. "Mom, I'm done. I'm done. That's all I got for tonight. You got anything else?"
"No." I think they covered this quite well.
Well, listen, we thank everybody for being with us tonight. Next week, we'll have Zanetta Shepherd. We may have one more guest. You know what? I knew this was going to happen. I said I was done.
Okay.
But it sounds like Minister Ernestine has something that she wants to say.
Yes.
So listen, God bless you, everybody who is listening. Catch us tomorrow. Your health is your wealth, Kimberly Silas has her show, Your Health is Your Wealth, at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Catch that. We'll see you back next week. Visit our website, prfministry.org. And I'm going to let Sister Ernestine go off about 20, 30 minutes, and I'm going to just be quiet. Amen.
First of all, I just got all worked, so I promise you I'm not going to be long. And everybody that knows me by now knows that I'm long-winded. So anyway, I'm going to say what I got to say, and we're going to be blessed in Jesus' name. But I just, I literally just joined the table, and so I've been on for about 10 minutes listening, and I caught the end. And I thought it was a good opportunity for me to just share what I shared with you about the network marketing. And On last week, Saturday, I was at a friend's house. He told me he had joined this thing. He found on the internet or whatever. And I'm not going to say the name of the organization because I don't want to take away from nobody. But and when I was sitting there and I'm listening to the guy that he had do the presentation, and I was listening to him selling something to people who, number one, didn't need it. That's number one. But the information that he was giving them and the way he was talking to them made them felt like they needed it. So as I'm sitting there and I'm listening, I begin to get a little irritated in my spirit. And again, I'm not trying to kill nobody, hustle or anything, so I didn't say anything that was unprofessional to stop what he had going on, but I did need a clarity, so I asked him a question about the product that he was selling, and he began to get a little irritated with me. But what it made me realize, and that, you know, I did let him know I wasn't interested. I was just there to support a friend of mine. But what it made me realize was the target audience that this particular person was targeting in the target cities that he was targeting. He was going to people that were in impoverished neighborhoods that either did not have employment or they was living from paycheck to paycheck or they was living off the government. And so he had them to sign up for something that cost almost between $30 to $45 a month, and got their information and had these people to sign up for something that they did not need. And this is something that that's gonna be coming out of either a checking account or coming out their monthly funds. So as it made me think, and I said, all this work that PRF is doing and everything that Reverend Dunlap is trying to help the community see about life insurance or having your will, being prepared, leaving inheritance for your children. I said, what this man was selling was costing them at least like $1 a day. And I said, so here these people are willing to give up $30 a month for something they don't need, but can't pay $30 a month for life insurance, which they do need. And that bothered me. That bothered me so. And I just wanted to encourage not only PRF and the listeners out there that, like I said, I just came in on the tail end, but if you don't have life insurance, if you don't have a will, if you haven't thought about leaving here and leaving an inheritance for your children, please go on the website, PRF.org. Please look at the information. Please sign up for the classes, the webinar, because this is about your life. This is to assist you, to help you. Go to the archives, listen in on the radio show. I'm telling you, the information is out there. The resources is out there. And when you do have different, like I said, I'm not trying to kill anybody, hustle. But when you do have different network marketers out there trying to sell you a false dream, a get-rich scheme and all that stuff, you know, look at the possibility of, if I can give this $30 to something that I don't need, what will happen if I give $30 to something that I do need? Because not only am I talking about what I said in the middle of a room and heard, I live that, where I just recently had to bury my nephew, which I raised like a son, and me and my sister, we didn't, and I say we because I take accountability, because although she didn't get insurance on him, I could have got insurance on him because we both knew the lifestyle he was living. And guess what? He got murdered. And when it was time to bury him, our family had to come together. And yes, my sister did say, let's get a GoFundMe. And although we were blessed to have family and friends to assist us. And people were generous on GoFundMe in our community and all over Texas where my parents are from. And we are grateful. We are blessed. And thank God for those types of resources as well. But that did not have to be had we been prepared, you know. So I hope that I can help somebody. And although I'm still grieving, I want to share my story or just let someone else know, because I'm not saying there's a parent out there that's listening and you know what your child is doing. You don't approve of it, but you know the road that it can lead to. So prepare, you know, not saying you speaking anything bad, but prepare yourself. Prepare, you know, their children and children's children. So just if the tragedy that happened to me can be a testimony for someone else out there, please let it be. Again, that's all I had to say. I hope I helped someone. I love you guys. Keep listening to the show. Be blessed, and I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, whatever your need is, that the Lord will meet you where you are, and he will give you what you need. Thank you.
Amen.
Ooh, Sister Ernestine. Sister Ernestine.
On time.
You weren't here earlier tonight when I talked about consumerism, capitalism, and what you just brought up, that rubs me. It I know I said I was done, but if you wouldn't have said nothing, I would have been done. But that really rubs me that there are people that are praying. Not P-R-A-Y, P-R-E-Y, like the wolf in sheep's clothing, that are praying on many people in many communities, praying on them. Because they know, and see, you know, it's oh my goodness. It is the same as if when pastors and religious leaders, so I'm not going to put it all on the pastors, some reverends and religious leaders, I'm going to just put it like that, stand in the pulpit and ask people to give, but yet you say you believe in tithing, and we are a tithing church, but if I'm not too concerned about you giving a tithe if you give to this $500 for this special anniversary. See, I shouldn't want you to give if you can't give your tithes. Because if I say that tithes come first, then I should want you to do. And so if I'm gonna take something else that comes before the first thing, then that other thing is not even really blessed. So it's the same way. You think about it. Because if you say you believe in tithing, if you say it, then yet you don't do it, but yet you going to give this other money for this other thing, then what you have said is that thing has become your God in that instance. Because you're not being obedient to what God said to do in the first place. So it is no different to me. This is me, Dunlap, speaking. When people are out there trying to sell folks certain things, be it multi-level marketing, be it in insurance, you know, trying to sell folks $500,000 worth of insurance that can't afford $500,000 worth of insurance, that's not going to keep $500,000 worth of insurance when the stuff start hitting the fan, because that extra $150 coming out their check a month gonna bust them over the head, and not looking at the totality of what's going on. It's just taking is taking something from them that they don't understand what's being taken from them, because they're trying to get something right now. And God ain't pleased. I say it. God ain't pleased with that.
Absolutely.
Because there is no way in the world that you can say out your mouth or the side of your neck that God is pleased when his people leave without being covered. But yet they got a whole bunch of stuff that they're leaving behind. See, I'm not talking about the sneakers and the iPhones and the video games and the electronics. I'm not talking about all that. I'm talking about that and the debt. And if you want to find a good scripture to focus on one of our foundational scriptures, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. That lets you know that this thing is serious. Because once we die, what we leave behind, that's what people are going to remember. They're going to remember those who did not have insurance. Oh, let me stop. I said I wasn't going to do it. They're going to remember that Dunlap had insurance. Ernestine has insurance. They're going to remember that. So this thing now, I'm on a whole different mindset. It's time to change the narrative. We've been trying to change it. Now it's time to just change the strategy. Time to change the strategy. And put something else in place. You try certain things. You turn it over to God. You ask God to, man, you just don't know how much I have prayed and asked God to change some folks' hearts. Well, maybe their hearts had the ability to be changed, but maybe they had the spirit of Pharaoh. See, unfortunately, it's going to take some folk who don't want to deal with this to have a situation like you had, Sister Ernestine, after saying no and procrastinating.
Mama.
So I'm grateful for everybody who listens, everybody who's on the boat, and we're going to take it from there. All right, people. God bless y'all. Enjoy your weekend. Keep the PRF family in prayer. There's some needs that we have as a team, and so I'll leave it there. Just keep us in prayer, y'all. Those of y'all who are listening, just keep us in prayer. There's nothing wrong with the team. Just, you know, individually, a couple people on the team need God's assurance right now, and that's being real. That's being real. And so just we pray God that God gives us the strength to be there for each other so that we can do what we're trying to do for you who are listening. All right, y'all. God bless you. God keep you. Thank you for listening. Tune in tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for Your Health is Your Wealth. And we'll see you back here next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the PRF table. God bless you. We love you. Peace.